What's up, everybody? You now tune in to the Hey Now podcast. Hey Now. What's up, everybody? Thank you for tuning in to the Hey Now podcast. This your boy, Kev. And on this episode, we got a recap episode. We got my boy Junior Nunez, a.k.a. Buns. You know, Junior came back on the show to let us know about the projects that he's been working on so far. It's just dope to know that somebody that I came up with, you know, worked on the Last Dance documentary, which I know everybody have seen by now. You know, projects that you had no idea somebody that you grew up with actually worked on. And Junior has been working on projects, documentaries, films, everything. And you just in awe about it, because once you hear his story and understand that he was self-taught, because he didn't want to give up. This is what he actually wanted, and he went out there and fought for it and got it. And what he has been able to do project after project, man, is remarkable, admirable, and truly inspiring. His journey is a true testament that if you put your mind to whatever you want to do in life, you're going to get to it. And I'm just glad that he was willing to come back on the show and just give us an update on what he's been working on. So enough of me. Sit back and relax. It's the Junior Nunez recap journey. Hey Now.
Man, the Hey Now podcast, man. Beloved is... You sure you wasn't here when Buns was here last time?
Nah, I would've remembered.
Yeah, I would've.
So it was just Gabby and Sharon? Really? Yeah, wasn't here?
Nah, he wasn't here.
You sure?
I was here too, man.
Yeah, he was here. Yeah.
I didn't know that he wasn't here.
Nah, he wasn't.
So we got Buns back. I know in the episode that we had with you, we actually started off talking about some boxing. So what we gonna do, we gonna jump around a little bit, you know, and then we gonna get into some of the projects, you know, that you worked on, that I'm sure a lot of people have been watching but had no idea or no clue that you actually worked on it, you know. And I always, you know, thought that was dope because the projects that you have let me, you know, or filled me in, you know, has been, you know, some dope shit. So let's get to it real quick, you know. Over the weekend or last weekend, we had Tyson Fury.
On my birthday. During Black History Month.
Happy belated, by the way.
Thank you.
Happy belated
birthday.
That's a good ass fight, though.
Against Wilder. You know, So Tyson Fury against Wilder, you know. The first fight, it was a draw, which I thought Fury won, but what do I know? I don't know nothing. So second fight. Let's go with Buns. Your thoughts and opinion on the second... Your thoughts on how the second fight went.
I mean, I feel like Fury just destroyed Wilder, I'll be honest with you. Wilder had no chance. I'll be honest with you. Now, after that, I saw highlights, and that's when I was telling you I called you, because, you know, I'm not a boxing. You know, I'm not really into boxing like that. I just watch occasional fight. I'm an occasional fan. Mm-hmm. The gloves look wild. They look like they were bags and shit.
Okay, yeah.
But you broke it down to me. You said that he has like a weird way of punching.
Yeah.
Like.
And I actually noticed it. If you go back to his first fight.
And I only noticed it because I saw the highlights in slow motion. That's when I was like, what the fuck is wrong with his glove? It's like you will swing and the glove's like lean back.
Yeah, like floppy.
Yeah, like floppy as hell.
If you was to, it's funny. If you was to go back to his first fight, Andre Ward was actually talking about it. The reason why it looked like that is because he actually throws a jab, but it's an illegal jab the way he throws it. When you throw your jab, you're supposed to, like, turn, you know, your wrists. He doesn't. It's more like he's slapping you.
That's what it looks like. That's exactly what it looks like.
So it's basically an illegal. You're supposed to get called for it, but
yeah.
I just think because he's this nigga's six. I'm sorry, he's 6'9".
Wait there.
The gypsy 6'9", you know, and Wilder, you know. I just think he just. He had no.
He's not a boxer though. He's just more like one hitter. Like that's it.
Yeah, everything is just off.
He's always said that you need what he says. You need to be perfect for 12 rounds. I gotta be perfect for 1 second.
And the crazy part is, I believe he always has a chance in every fight because he got that one hitter quitter.
He was losing the first one.
But when you have somebody who's actually as skilled as Fury, who's actually 6'9", and who actually did something smart, and I don't think people are paying attention to, he came in at like 275, 280.
Yeah, I said the same thing.
He said, I'm going to come in as heavy as shit.
And lean on him.
Feel me? So, we're going to see. I'm looking forward to the third fight. I think Fury wins. Beloved.
I did go into a rabbit hole, and I did look up a video on YouTube because of the gloves, remember what I was telling you? But this other guy broke it down a different way. He broke down the skills of Fury and how he knew how Wilder would throw the one punch to set you up right, and then throw right the other. Yep. And then throw the other. So whenever Wilder would throw the left to set you up, he'll lean back automatically. So Wilder would never, every time he'll hit him, he'll just literally be touching him. So he already knew his move. So whenever he'll get the first tap, he knew that the other one was coming, so he already had moved back ahead of time before Wilder was even able to hit him. So that's why Wilder barely touched him. So I did see that, and then they broke it down to his shoulder in slow motion how it was, and then when I saw it, I was like, all right, this nigga got some skills.
Boy, that boy's all right. Beloved,
man, listen. Wilder shouldn't be fighting in the ring anymore. You know them basement hood fights?
Stop, man.
That's what he should do.
How you feel about him being mad at his trainer?
I'm gonna address all of this shit.
Okay. Tell him.
So, Deontay Wilder is not a boxer.
No.
He's somebody who knows how to punch.
Yes.
That doesn't mean you're a boxer. Okay? So, I know weeks leading up to the fight, me and Kev, because you know the hood was behind Wilder. I wanted the black man to win. It hurt my heart to see a white man beat on a black man like that. It kind of traumatized me. I didn't like that shit at all.
Yo, why would you gotta look at it that way?
I gotta tell you how I feel. Anytime a black boxer is gonna fight a white boxer, I'm rolling with the black guy.
Yeah.
That's the ancestors didn't die for this. I'm rolling with the black guy.
So hold on, as the fight was going on, did you start finding some?
Let me tell you. Weeks before the fight, we were having this conversation here. We were having the conversation via text, via social media. I was always concerned because anytime you put a puncher against a boxer, I'm always going to side with the boxer. Yeah. That's why they call it the sweet science. The object is to hit and not get hit. Mm-hmm. Wilder has no head movement.
No.
No feet.
Doesn't have speed. He has a lot of power. He fights standing flat on his feet.
Yeah.
Like, again, I wanted the black guy.
He doesn't move his head, pause.
To win. But I was like, yo, this dude has no boxing skill. Then, you know, his famous, to this day, always talking shit. I wasn't fooled.
Yo, did you see
I was concerned.
When he came back?
You come in with this RoboCop outfit, and then you want to complain.
I still don't know what the outfit was. What was it supposed to be?
It was some Terminator, Black Panther.
It was like
Shredder from Ninja Turtles.
But he said, shut up, yo. Yo, shut up.
He had to wait on. I don't know what the fuck.
Yeah, SB
said. It was this elaborate costume, and then
it was like some Wakanda.
I don't know why though. Like I'm like, why?
He's doing the most. Then you want to complain and say, oh, the costume was too heavy. Who the fuck told you to put it on? That's your fault. You don't have a dress rehearsal? You didn't try it on?
He did try it on the day before.
No, but did you walk with it?
No, but... I know one thing for sure. I don't know if y'all know this, yo, but that motherfucking ring walk, that shit took forever, though. That was probably one of the longest ring walks, like in a minute.
T-shirt. If you want to complain, talk about my legs, this, my legs, that.
Being carried over there. Philly was being carried.
Yeah. But he still no. I think for both of them, it was still like a long ass like ring walk. Yeah. I never.
So how do you feel about them doing the rematch?
Okay, so Wilder is also a sore loser.
Hold on, no, but first of all, I just want to say, I ain't never seen nobody in boxing bleed out their ear.
Well, me too.
Never in my life I seen somebody bleed.
Yeah, when you don't put your hands up, you don't
When a nigga ring this right here, when you hear this shit ringing,
you want to stop the fight? Your ear is messed up. And he went, huh? Your ear is messed up.
Wilder's a sore loser.
Hold on, they probably told him in the corner that he was going to fight.
Yo, your ear is messed up. He kept saying, huh?
No, he probably just nodded his head because he didn't want nobody to know that his ear was messed up because he didn't want them to stop the fight. So he was like, yeah.
That was another thing, too, as well.
Yeah, but he was literally bleeding.
So that's why I don't agree with. I know he was saying that, you know, he's a warrior and. You know, he dies, this and that, and third. I don't agree with that because, yeah, it got to a point where. He was literally like taking punishment, and in recent the last year, well, in the last year of 2019, there was so many
like the last 6-7 months,
there was mass deaths, you know, like unnecessary shit, you know. So that's why I ain't agree on him, cause like he was like literally taking like blows to the head, and yeah, that he never recovered from that shot to the temple.
Nah,
like didn't. That hit to the ear, he
was
wobbling
the whole fight. The whole fight was
nigga had no legs.
He would come out of the corner looking like he was.
The
like,
nigga had no legs. He was like on survival. Yeah. He was on survival mode. So
third
fight.
I ain't gonna lie though, he still was. Every time he would throw a punch though, he was still throwing them just mad hard.
Oh no! I'm telling you, that's that Bama strength. He always gonna have a chance.
I'm not interested in seeing a third fight.
I am. I already know the outcome, but I am.
Hold on.
Because he's not going to learn to box in 6 months.
Is it 6 months they're going to do it?
Yeah. They're saying in July.
July.
Damn, in the same place.
What's going on now with boxing? Are they rushing everything?
No, I think because
I just felt like both of them fought like about 2 months ago.
Before this one with the title. Right.
No, that was.
I was like, yo, why they rushed that?
That was something that they did that a lot of other boxers was talking about because, like, yeah, like he literally fought and like he had to start a training camp all over. Both of them had to, you know.
Because they both fought like, what was it, like a week apart, right? The last time.
But them niggas make bank though. I seen the numbers.
What? They made bread? Because they went 50-50. They split it down the middle.
That was like one of the biggest like heavyweight fights besides like last time.
90s?
Lennox Lewis.
And Klitschko?
Yeah, pretty much.
Since back then, bro.
Lewis and Tyson, Lewis and Holyfield, yeah.
Lewis and Holyfield.
That's all 90s shit. Remember they presented them.
So that's basically Rocky.
Oh yeah.
Wilder's not Apollo Creed though.
Oh, nah. Well, Rocky
got Apollo Creed had boxing skills. He moved his feet.
He taught Rocky how to fight.
No. But the problem we're confusing the fights. This is probably Drago versus Apollo Creed.
Facts. If he dies, he dies.
Yeah, he dies.
Crazy, man. So
because they did the same thing in that one. They threw the towel in. They just threw it in early.
So
they threw it in too. They should have threw it the towel by the fifth round.
I'm not even gonna lie to you, yo. I really thought that. It's just,
was that bad?
His equilibrium.
To me,
was
yo,
bad.
It's just like that hit, man. When rounds. You get hit like yo, that's.
Your trainer's screaming directions. You gotta stand on this side.
You can't tell me his ear wasn't like ringing that whole time.
Oh hell yeah,
it's still ringing.
He probably couldn't hear.
He couldn't hear at all. You can't tell me like I know for a fact.
I saw blood dripping out his ear,
bro. His eardrum popped. That's what it was.
You see?
Yeah, he was like, "Yo, I need stitches afterwards." Come on.
In surgery, if anything, for that shit.
All right, so another fight before we. We're going to jump into basketball. Another fight that is supposed to happen in May, Gervonta Davis against, the Mexican boy. He nice.
Mikey Garcia?
No. I think they call my man, not LT, but no.
What?
No. I got you right now.
How do you feel about Gervonta?
I'm concerned about his mental.
Yeah,
Mm-hmm. I think he's a talented fighter, but he does some wild shit.
Yeah, like that shit he did with his girl was crazy. Yeah,
no, but I've seen him in action in person, behaving in a certain way, and I'm just like, yo, where's his handlers? Like, do y'all know if he gets back, the rest of you are going back to the projects?
Yes.
Like, get him under control.
So, as far as with me and him, Tank, I like Tank, man. I think the kid is, like, real good. But...
Do you feel he had, like, a slow start when he first got into it? Because I feel like he had, like, a slow start.
No. He got moved up real quick. Because, you know, he was under Floyd.
That's what I mean. That Floyd moved him up too quick at first. Floyd did that at first.
Well, the stuff is he does have star power. You feel me? Like, he does have that attraction. But... All right, you know what's crazy? A lot of people talk crazy about Adrian Broner, right?
Yeah.
But AB was really the one who paved the way after, like, with Floyd. Not even with Floyd, because Floyd really wasn't seen a lot with, like, all the, like, the rappers and stuff like that.
No.
But AB, you see AB in...
He ran around with G-Unit tough, but that was one crew.
Yeah, one crew. But you see AB, AB's in the club doing walkthroughs.
Hold on, May used to be with Ray J, too. We all remember the Ray J piano scene.
Yeah, in that situation. But, it's crazy. So, you see him, like, he's with these people, so it's like, you're more visible. You know, so if you're more visible, that's how you're going to sell in boxing. And I think a lot of people know Tank, but I just don't want people to, like, know him for all the wrong reasons. Like,
all
what you
antics and all that shit.
Like what you just said about, you know, his whole baby moms, you know.
Yeah, crazy.
That looked bad because your boss, Floyd, he had went to jail for
domestic, yeah,
you know. Pattern. So that don't look right, you feel me? At the end of the day, you messing with business. You
gotta go to court for that now.
Now he gotta go to court for that. Because
the state
you know?
Is doing some trying to.
No, Atlanta's the state in Atlanta. They trying to charge him. You feel me? Atlanta. So it's stuff like that, you know, if he's not focused, you know, if he's not on weight, you know, I'm just scared for him. But when he's focused, I just don't think anybody could really fuck with
talented
him.
Talented fighter, but to me doesn't make. The right decisions. So that's what, in my opinion, could be his Achilles heel in terms of him being an all-time great or being, you know, just another good fighter over a span of time. So
who's fighting in his division now, though? Who's like...
He went up to... So right now, he's on 135.
Is AB fighting no more? Anymore?
My man AB said he need 20 mil to come out of retirement.
Why?
My man AB is a real one, yo. I don't care what nobody says, yo. I love AB, son. I don't
care,
yo.
Another one. I wanted him to beat Pacquiao. I wanted the black guy to win. Yo, I did.
AB is AB, bro.
I was embarrassed.
But they got a few on 135. Lumachenko, I think, unless he went to 130.
Yeah, ain't nobody being there.
Well, that's what Javante wants to fight. He's prepping himself to fight him, basically.
He's basically... That's what he's saying. And he also wait until he get a little old, you know, because Lomachenko, he's... In age, he's kind of young. I think like 29 or whatever, 30.
That's old for boxing.
But boxing...
Your prime, yes, for boxing.
No, but boxing, he's like... He came in as a pro, like at 27, I think it was. He came in old because he had like over like 300 amateur fights. And remember, he's a two-time Olympian.
Facts.
Gold medalist at that. So
Golden Gloves.
He was like, fuck that nigga got gold medals.
Yeah,
right? He got everything. And so his body's like
he's
taking a lot. You got 300 amateur fights. They're trying
to throw Tank against him like fast, but Tank is actually saying
Tank being smart. Nah, what the fuck I gotta fight you for right now? I'm good. I'm making money. I'm still good, you know.
How much are you making now, more or less?
A fight? It depends. I know Tank's last fight he probably made, I think he probably made like 1.5.
That's it?
Tank?
like for him. That's after he split his purse, right?
What the fuck you mean for him? He don't got no belt in 135. He don't got no belt.
1.5, that's good.
Who else?
But these, some of these niggas getting 200.
After you have to pay the corner.
No, is that after he pays the corner or that's before the
payment? No. That's his purse. Shit. That's what he's getting.
So he probably got like what, 300K out of everything?
I think that's good. What the fuck?
Wait, hold on. I'm putting my life on the line.
I understand that, but I'm getting 300K.
I could die.
But you gotta understand, I don't got no belt at 135. This is a new division.
But I am an attraction in the sport.
But he has endorsements probably right now.
Yeah, he got endorsements and stuff like that. I think 1.5, I don't think that's bad.
I thought he was making more.
Danny Garcia, I think he got like 1.5 his last fight too.
So how much AB was making, bro? AB was making bread.
All right, so the stuff with AB, people don't understand. Once you have
people are watching. People are watching.
One, he was with Al Heyman. Two, once you get a belt, like whatever fight, you got a belt. AB had, he's a four division. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So once you have belts on your resume, you got to get paid, right? And also the stuff with AB, what I was saying was he was getting like club performances. So he get like 50,000 to like show up. Yeah, so that's another way that he also like make money. So that's why he was always like, you know, he always had some bread. But I don't know, man. Did you watch Mikey Garcia this past weekend?
No, I didn't get to watch that.
He whooped Jesse Vargas' ass too, bro. That shit was hilarious, yo. Alright, so we spoke about, got into some boxing. I'm going to talk about basketball, man. I want to discuss something that's really been bothering me. It's really getting me upset how every time I watch a game and all I hear is about like the Greek Freak. All right, cool, 7 feet, he do this. I understand that. But what my boy is doing on the West Coast, what my man LeBron is doing, you feel me? He's holding it down. And I was seeing, I forgot what I was watching. It was ESPN. There was like, MVP candidates. The Greek Freak, Russell Westbrook. They had LeBron like fourth, yo. I was like, yo, like what does he have to do, man? Like, I don't get it, man. Like, we're gonna appreciate this dude when he's gone and it's sad, yo. I don't know, man.
This is how the NBA community, the fan base included, this is how they are. They're going to appreciate, like you said, they're going to appreciate LeBron when he's not here. Just like there was legions of Kobe haters. Kobe's first year out of retirement,
everybody loved him.
He was missed.
Yeah, everybody loved him.
There was a legion of Jordan haters. Mm-hmm. I mean,
at the retirement, he's the greatest.
You know, so people don't appreciate things in real time.
Listen, man, that was the 37-footer he shot yesterday?
Yo.
From the front, one step in after the half court, a jump shot. Not that one.
He's been like pulling from deep.
No. Like, but he's getting further and further every time.
It's the same move every time. It's like this pull up.
Yeah, but it's a jump shot. Like, he literally pulled up.
I don't see that. Like, that's gonna happen. Like, nigga, stay with the motherfucking face.
Do you think they come out the West, though?
I don't know.
They have a chance to me. Who they signed?
Hold on.
They signed
Dion
or JR?
No, first of all, I do not want.
I don't want disrespect.
No disrespect. I do not want Dion Waiters. But you know who
they
I do want?
They should take Jamal Crawford.
Oh my God!
They should take Jamal Crawford.
He's gonna act like an adult.
No.
He's gonna act like an adult.
No, it's not that. Jamal Crawford doesn't play defense though.
Yeah, but he could score 50.
Yo, no lie. You know who I bring back?
Lance.
I bring back Lance.
You know what we're talking about?
I bring back the guitar.
You don't care who he face.
Bro, he can't.
And he can score, but he can't come back. He can't come back.
Wow.
Coronavirus. I'm not even joking. He's stuck. There's no flights. There's no flights from China.
Oh, he got the coronavirus?
No, SB.
Oh, I thought you said he got the coronavirus.
Damn, nigga. They still recording, SB? You good? No, he don't got it, man. Because remember, he was out there playing.
Yeah, he's doing good out there. He's doing like 25.
That season is done.
Yeah, so he was in the
but he can't come back. Okay. And that, yeah. And I think he's in great shape.
No, he's been balling over
I think he's humbled now. You know, I think he understands it.
No, but he had a fine time. Yeah, they played good. He played good with LeBron. Him and LeBron, I don't remember. LeBron even started doing the guitar.
Lance Stevenson's going to play defense. Huh? Lance Stevenson's going to agitate people.
Yeah. And all LeBron got to do is, do you remember how you used to play defense against me? Do that to Kawhi.
Yep.
Blowing his ears, balls, do all that shit.
The Lakers can't try to send a jet to go get him? No, I'm
China's not going to let him.
Nigga, they ain't, they ain't allowing nothing in and out.
All the government, have him expedited via private jet.
Well, you gotta test him before you get on top.
Let me see, man.
Have them test him, okay, then
nah, but he good. He tested already and everything. He just can't come over here.
Damn, that sucks.
But,
And they don't know when they're gonna lift the travel ban either, so.
Yeah, so he's still, I actually didn't know that.
Yeah, apparently, yeah.
Because I think they should take a look at Lance.
And besides that, he signed a 2-year deal. So they also, right now, they're in no communication. So NBA also has to communicate with his team so they can let him come for the playoffs and he'll go back for the next season. Because he has to go back for the next season in order to get the full 25, so.
Right. That's wild.
But that's nothing. He can't even play over there because the season is canceled right now because of the coronavirus.
That's crazy. I was reading some shit there with the
so
soccer.
He's stuck.
Yeah, in Italy.
No, the Olympics, the whole Olympics, they're going to do it privately.
Yeah, but in Italy now, all the soccer teams, all the games from now on
are private.
No spectators allowed.
Yeah.
No fans.
Wow.
This is a man-made virus.
Yeah, I said that. They was looking at me crazy, too.
Where does this come from?
I don't know, bro.
In the name. Coronas? That's what I heard, man. I was reading up on that. They said that virus came from Coronas.
SB,
but the
man.
Corona market right now is down too, yo. I'm about to start buying into that shit.
No. You know what's crazy? The Corona market is down. The crazy part is.
Yeah. No, because there are people that are.
There are people who think that.
Dumb people.
Yeah. But I was reading also something, because I know you mentioned Kawhi. I was reading something that they were saying that, I think LA is still, the Clippers is still waiting for like Paul George to get like comfortable with the Clippers, saying that he's still not there.
Yeah, but he's still been balling.
So that's why I think that the Lakers have come out in the West.
I'll be honest with you. With the Clippers,
I'm concerned.
I'll be honest with you. I don't even think they're gonna meet each other. Everybody's so hyped about them meeting each other. I don't think they're going to meet each other at all.
You think Clippers could lose before the Western Conference Finals?
Either one of those could probably lose. These teams in the West are real sleeper teams. There's a lot.
Ooh!
Dallas.
If they get it together before the playoffs, they could be a sleeper team.
No, hold on.
And I'm the thing is, somebody objects.
Look.
I'll be honest with you. Memphis, I wouldn't want to play Memphis in the first round. I wouldn't want to play because they can have a great. Listen, playoffs are playoffs. Ooh.
That's my point. I think that's my main point. When you playing in the season, you playing that one off.
No, that's what I'm saying. But that's what I'm saying. A 7-game series is unpredictable, though. We've seen it happen many times, though. Even the Clippers last year should have won the first round. We know that.
Yeah.
I want to see the Lakers come out the West. I'm a LeBron supporter, but. And I don't want to talk bad about Rob Pelinka, you know. But they keep losing free agents to the Clippers. Why?
But they're in first place. They're in first place though. Still,
I'm still trying to.
They keep losing to the Clippers directly though.
I'm still trying to figure out when they're going. I'm still trying to figure out when they're going to cut Jared Dudley. I've been sitting down, I've been counting the games.
Yeah.
This nigga's still active on the, like, he's still on the roster.
And he comes in the games.
He's Mark Madsen of that team.
I don't care.
No, look, I'll be honest with you.
Get him out of there. I need this.
Dudley is there for a hard five, man.
I don't care about his. I don't need that right
Listen,
now.
I would have rather took Mike Beasley if it's about six fouls. I would have rather took Mike Beasley. Right. Okay, bust him in the head, we'll pay his five.
Yo, like, cause yeah. Like, done? No.
And nobody's scared of Jared Dudley.
Yeah.
You're not tough.
Who he busting? Who
you
he
come from a private house. You have two-parent households. You're not tough.
Nah, man.
You
nah,
wasn't one nah. of those L.A. kids that was, like, outside. Nobody's nah, scared man. Of Jared Dudley.
Nah, that really got me upset. That's seriously. True. That's like, true. I really don't understand, like, why he's still, no disrespect, you know, but.
I don't really know why.
He should be gone, man.
I mean, he's a shooter, but I don't know when his last time he shot.
That's what I was just about to say.
Oh, by the way, did you guys hear the rumor about JR in the workout?
Yeah, yeah.
As soon as he grabbed the basketball and started shooting, hit 23 straight shots.
No, listen.
Didn't miss.
Listen, not look. He's not. All right. Look. He gets upset. You know, a lot of people get upset because the whole
JR played D.
Mental breakdown. JR plays D, and the stuff is with JR, when JR, and you notice it, when JR is with LeBron, JR feels that he has to, like, prove himself, yeah. You know? So he's going to limit his fuck-ups. He's one of them niggas that is like...
He never complained about coming off the bench in Cleveland.
It's like with Jimmy Butler, in a sense. You got to take the good with the bad, in a sense, even though Jimmy's going to play more defense.
No, but
so I like JR, man. I think I don't see why he should not. I don't understand why he's not in the
my
league.
Only concern is,
Shump is not in the league.
I'll take Shump over Jared Dudley.
Isn't Shump hurt? Or are you
not, doing
that?
No.
He got cut. He got cut.
They waved. Brooklyn waved him once this dude came back. Yeah. The nigga that was suspended from drug.
LeVert.
The other nigga that he was in Philadelphia. He got suspended like 50 games this year.
Was that Caris LeVert? I thought it was Caris LeVert.
No.
Who was it?
Chandler?
Wilson Chandler.
Wilson Chandler?
No, I think it was somebody else.
No, it was Wilson.
He got suspended at one time.
Yeah, bro. No. It wasn't Wilson Chandler. Wilson Chandler used to be on the bench. We used to be on the bench, man.
Bro, the one.
I would take Wilson Chandler over
bro, the one that was the one that was at the, with the Knicks. He was in Denver for dumb
luck. Yeah, it was him. But he didn't get suspended.
He just got suspended. He was suspended with the Brooklyn champ. Come on, dog.
No, but so was somebody. LeVert also was suspended for something also.
Nah, not LeVert. I think he was hurt.
So there was somebody else that was suspended also, not Chandler though, because I've seen Chandler on the bench and there was somebody else.
He just got back. Chandler was suspended for like 40 games. Look it up. Yeah, man, Big Weed. No, I'm lying. It wasn't Weed. It was like some steroid shit. My bad. Weed is 5 games. Yeah. Y'all can look that up. All right, what's going to be my next topic?
Dion, what it was for the weed.
No, the edibles.
The edibles.
I don't need that guy, man.
You know, it's crazy, man. I like Dion, but...
Underachiever.
But hold on. Let's not forget.
He was hooping with the Heat before...
No, just this season.
He just scored 39
against the Clippers. He scored 39 and was bothering because the shit out of Kawhi, because he was going to Kawhi.
Everything changed with him when the white boy from Kentucky, Hero, whatever.
Tyler Hero?
She changed a little bit once he came on the team, you know?
I liked him before he was in the league.
It was Wilson Chandler.
I'm telling you.
Drug policy violated.
It was like 50, it was a...
25 games.
Oh, 25 games.
Damn.
Oh! I got a
but here's the thing. I just found out, and I didn't even know you could do this. Apparently, if they just sign somebody now, let's just sign Dion. They could still cut him before the playoffs and sign JR. I don't know if you could do that, but apparently you could do that up until the playoffs. You could still
because they won't be active on the roster. Yeah, you gotta activate them. So yeah, you could do that. Real quick before we get into you, Buns, I seen this this discussion that was going on social media. If you was to start a team, who would you start it with? Luka,
basketball.
Oh,
okay.
Mm-hmm.
Who are the
options? Luka, mm-hmm. or Zion? Go.
What? If you was to start a team, who you start with?
Who you start with? Luka or Zion?
I say Luka.
She got quiet.
I say Luka.
Okay, you got Luka. Beloved.
Mm-hmm.
I know where you going with.
I'm gonna roll with Zion. But he needs to drop 40 pounds.
That's my reason. That's my concern. I have concerns with Zion. That's my problem.
He needs to drop 40 pounds.
I don't know. Look, I don't know if his knees could take him jumping like that. And number one, no. Number two, he's a fast jumper. I know how that is. And I know the impact you put in your fucking knees to the point that I can't walk now. You remember when I used to play ball, the way I used to jump? You remember? That shit puts. Especially if you're big, it puts a lot of fucking pressure on your knees.
A lot of strain on your legs, bro.
That shit is no joke. And he, right now, he almost 300.
Yeah, I would see some.
He needs to be like 260, 250.
He eating all that gumbo down there. That's why.
And the way he jumping. Shout out to Gumbo. Oh, no, no, look, look, and don't get me wrong. He looks great right now. But that wear and tear.
Nah, he needs to go.
I don't know how many years he could do that for.
260, 250. But I mean, I think the kid's a freak of nature.
No, he is, he is.
Yeah.
Number one, look, there's two things. He's a freak of nature, and we never seen a player like him. I'll be honest with you.
He's like because Charles Barkley on steroids, right?
Yes. Yes.
But Moses Malone made Charles Barkley lose a bunch of weight at one point
in time. I think it's going to happen. I think he's going to, eventually it's going to happen. And
he's so dominating right now with the way he has, though. It's hard to tell him to lose weight.
He's definitely
260. Yo, he's moving. Yo, he's moving 7 footers out of the way, bro.
Yeah, I think he'll still be dominant if he drops.
Yeah, I think once they figure out how to do his what they gonna do with his body, his regimen.
You feel like maybe they don't know what to do with his body.
Yeah, that's what it is. They don't. Number one.
He still got to walk.
He don't even know how to walk right. To be honest, that was the first thing they were trying to do: teach him how to walk.
Yeah,
because the way he walks. He hurts himself. He walks awkwardly. He puts a lot of pressure on his knees, even the way he walks.
Mm-hmm.
He has a weird bop, the way he walks like an old man. Right?
Yeah,
walks
he do got a bop, yeah. Got
he
that OJ bop.
That's the only problem with the season. If he get hurt again,
yeah,
I think it's really going to set him back a couple.
Don't get me wrong. They might take that eighth spot, man, because they're looking good.
Yeah.
4-0. They face the Lakers. Got zero.
Yeah.
Get them out of here.
Well, they only got it's only really four teams in the West. When you really think about it, top five. The West is five top heavy. That's it.
Yeah.
Other than that, everyone else is what the fuck?
And I think the Clippers.
Look, I'll be honest with you. If LeBron stays healthy,
defense, right? Thank God, if their whole team.
The way he's playing right now, and we all know that LeBron, he still has another.
He has another gear.
He still got another gear.
So in the playoffs. The way he's playing right now, imagine him in the playoffs.
Anthony Davis
gotta stay healthy.
Has to be a man in the fourth quarter.
Chill, my man, Kuzma. He's going
to
turn it up.
I need you to be somewhat of a third wheel. I need 18-9 from you in the playoffs.
Yeah, we got AC for that. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, but Kuzma.
Alex Caruso.
Yeah.
Alex Caruso. He ball.
One, I think AD going to pick it up come playoff. But two, I think Kuzma.
Who, Kuzma? AD.
Oh, yeah, sometimes. Yeah, when LeBron gets off, it's AD don't know what he want to do no more. It's he can't even stick it.
No, I'm talking when the game's on the line, fourth quarter, 8 minutes left, and you're deferring. I'm no.
But he's still trying to adjust to that, because he went from being the man, then.
He's a 1-8.
He's still the man.
No, but they want him to be the man. He just hasn't.
But still, it's going to take some time.
He got some weight on him, too. If I don't even know this either.
Yeah, he had digging weight.
He got a little weight on him.
Good weight, you know?
Yeah.
Now he balling. He playing good, though. He playing good.
I know he's balling, bro. Not for nothing that it's not really noticeable because, probably the team. Chris Paul this year.
Oh, Chris Paul.
SB, that's crazy you brought
that
up.
That vegan diet doing good for that.
I be trying to tell y'all, y'all can cross over to the G's. Yeah. Oh, damn, that's crazy, yo.
I said pause.
Nah, but it's the face. It's the face you put. You put no me, pause. It was kind of crazy, yo. We could go back to the tape. That was kind of crazy.
I said pause.
It's just how you said it. But SB, I'm with you. I was having that conversation with somebody. I was letting them know, I'm really surprised, the Thunder, how they, holding up. And I'm like, yo, then no, what the hell?
They playing good.
But then I'm like, yo, what the hell happened with the Houston? Why everybody was saying that? It was CP3, this and that, and third, and then go to another team,
That's the thing. People stopped believing it was only CP3 the issue as soon as the season started. They were like, okay, we know it ain't CP3. But it was dumb for anybody to believe that because we all saw what happened in the playoffs. When CP3 was there, they were up against the Warriors.
Yeah,
CP3 gets hurt, they go down.
I don't think he's a saint in this situation.
And to be honest with you, when they were up against the Warriors, it wasn't because Harden did anything.
Yeah, Harden actually shit the bed.
Yes, it was CP3 was holding that whole series down.
Not for nothing, I've done seen CP3, Chris Paul himself go to various teams, and the team always gets better.
Yes.
No, I agree with you, man.
Clippers, same thing with the Clippers.
They always done been to playoffs.
And not only that, he's I'm be honest with you, he got to be the most best improved player this year off that dunk alone that he did.
Oh, man. All-star.
Off that dunk alone.
He's getting there. He's getting there. All right, man. So we discussed it. You got anything to get off your chest before we get into?
He had a dormant rant that I think you need to.
Yeah. So
I think he needs to get off.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is what we're here talking about. New York Knickerbocker fans.
Yay! Yes.
From near and far.
The ultimate.
You guys do not respect yourselves. I've been saying this for the last 7 years. Simple math, guys. If you guys continue to pay these expensive ticket prices, right? You buy the $30 hot dog. You buy the $20 beer.
Damn, this is $30 for one hot dog?
I'm just Manhattan prices. I'm just saying.
Oh, shit. Right? I'm sorry.
Every year.
No, but you ain't lying.
Every year on the Forbes magazine, whenever they're doing company evaluations for NBA franchises, the Knicks are always at the top of the list.
Madison Square Garden is still baby. Top of the list.
So, guys, newsflash. If you guys continue to support the franchise, James Dolan has no incentive to spend any real money to put a quality product on the floor because you guys show up anyway. He thinks y'all are suckers. Okay? So, the same way he threw Charles Oakley out like he was the Tin Man, like he was on the cross. Fans are voicing their opinions. He's having fans escorted out of the arena. How dare you? What happened to customer service? I can't complain. Like, these owners need to understand franchises really belong to the people, belong to the communities. You need to treat these people with respect. But when you have this plantation owner, peasant mentality. This is why you'll have somebody like Spike Lee, who's given 8 figures to the Knicks in ticket money over the last few decades. You'll approach him. If somebody's giving me $300K a year to my business, if he wants the helicopter in on MSG, I'm letting him do it. I'm going to make sure this man is comfortable.
Yes. That's $300,000.
So, and then you got Leon Rose. That was his first day on the job. Yeah. Rather than they talk about him and them winning the game against Houston, it's
about Spike Lee.
This is drum. So, I'm proposing me being a kid from Boston and understanding Boston championship sports culture, even though I'm not a fan of all the teams. But one thing I do appreciate about the people in my city, if you're not producing a quality product, the community will, one, let you hear about it, and they won't support. That's how they will show their discontent until you get your shit together. New York Knickerbocker fans, I don't know what's wrong with y'all. It's like James Dolan and the Knicks. You know, you're in a relationship with somebody, and you're the side piece. You keep making yourself available. He's not going to do anything real to put a great product on the floor. And when you see your owner treating former players like this, they're not going to want to come play for you. Kevin Durant and Kyrie came to New York, but then went to Brooklyn. Players talk, coaches talk, staff members from different teams talk. They tell their colleagues about how it's a toxic culture over there. So, man, fuck the Knicks.
Hey.
I don't care about James Dolan. You know, I do love New York City. New York City's turning me into an adult. But I don't know why y'all support this team. Y'all should do a coup d'etat and boycott the Knicks organization. Truth be told, I think a coalition needs to come together to get them ousted from the ownership group in the NBA. Give them that Donald Sterling treatment. Yeah, I said it.
We gotta catch him in the act. That's what we need to do. Like, he doing some hooker shit and boom, right there, get him out. That's what it is. That's what we gotta catch him in the act.
I'm tired of talking about the Knicks. They don't do nothing like. Man. Spike, have respect for yourself, OG.
All right.
40 acres and a mule. Don't come to the games no more, man. Take back your season ticket holder money and see if you could strike some sort of business opportunity with the Nets. That's what I would do. Shoot some content for them. Maybe they'll give you season tickets half off. Just to spite the Knicks.
Like, I have to be. Right? And I'm like, all right, I'm trying to do this thing. He's like, bro, like, you got to map your keys. He was talking all this editor language and software language that I didn't know.
It was a different lingo. You didn't know what the hell he was talking about. Yeah.
He's like, let me sit down. He gets on, going mad fast, working fast. I'm like, shit. I'm like, I don't know nothing, bro. It made me feel like shit. Fast forward. Of course, for me, that I kept working, whatever. I did what I had to do. Fast forward to now, to about 2 years ago. I'm working this place, whatever. At this point, I'm already out of here. I'm ready. I know how to work on any software, editing, coloring, no matter what it is. I know how to use it at this point. I'm in this facility working. I'm freelance, of course, working on a documentary. There you go. And I'm editing on some shit. And the dude walks by me. He's like, oh, shit, what's going on, man? I haven't seen you like in 3 years. But I'm like, yeah, yeah. Completely lost. They didn't know how to use anything. I basically taught him. I had to teach him there.
So he didn't stay up to date.
No. I had to teach him there.
You surpassed him.
Surprised him a lot. Like, actually, we were just talking the other day, and he was just literally telling me how, he was like, bro, man, you just go get it, man. Because I remember when I first seen you, you had something that I didn't even know you had just started. I just thought you knew what you were doing. But I just thought that you didn't really know too much.
Right.
He goes, but seeing you now, he's like, bro, you, like, out of here. And I'm like,
be like that.
I'm like, yeah, I just kept, you know what I mean? Something you came along, I just was like, all right, let me see what this is. And learn how to do graphics, learn how to do color, learn how to do other shit besides just editing. Because it all plays a role regardless.
See, I didn't know you know how to do all that extra stuff either. I just thought you know how to edit. See, you learn something new every day. See, I didn't know you was over there messing with the graphics and the colors as well, so... So yeah, so you might as well like get into it, man. So what projects that you allowed to speak on that you could share with us, you know, that oh no, first of all, the Disney
Marvel Hero Project.
Yes.
They drop one every week. And this week dropped the episode that assistant directed.
The one that you was telling
in
me
Puerto
about.
Rico. Puerto Rico. Yeah.
Is this the one you... No, that's not the one...
The kid that after the hurricanes, there was no light in Puerto Rico, so he basically... the episode's up on Disney Plus, but he basically, on his own, because he didn't really have to do it. I mean, he's not like he comes from an impoverished place. He's pretty privileged over there. Like, his family, you know, like, his mom's a psychiatrist or whatever the case may be.
They got a little bit...
Yeah, they got bread, but he's over there, and... He's seeing that nobody has lights, and not only where he lives at, the hoods, like other towns that far away. So he basically told his mom, like, yo, I need to do something to bring lights. And he basically started calling companies that have solar panel lights. These little lights that are like that. You blow up, basically pause, and you just like leave out for like a few hours, and it can light the whole night. Basically, so he did that. He started calling companies here in the States in like... he started calling a whole bunch of, and he just got it all, and he got funded. He started asking to donate for this thing. So he was basically buying equipment, like he bought portable washing machines and all that stuff. He had to get it across over there, because remember there was nothing coming across from Puerto Rico to over here, or from over here to Puerto Rico, because the docks were all fucked up. Oh, well, they had it all locked in the docks. He even got that out. He got people to make sure that he was able to get his equipment out. And then he went himself knocking door to door and dropping these lights off. So we went, followed him, whatever, for the episode. It was dope to see how people still remembered him when we were walking around with him. They were like, they didn't know his name, but they were like, weren't you the kid that brought us the lights, whatever the case? He was like, yeah. And they were like, oh, wow, we didn't know your name or anything like that. So it was pretty dope seeing all that.
That's fine.
We were in like hooded areas and stuff like that. And he had gone by himself, but there was no lights, and people wouldn't go in there to take anything. He would go by himself, a kid. And he would just take himself and take the lights and knock on people's doors and give them lights and portable washing machines and stuff like that.
Oh, I'm gonna check that one out. Yeah, real one. So what else, man? What other project that you worked on and now you look back on it and you're like, damn, I really worked on this? You haven't had that? You haven't got that yet?
Think. Well, besides the new stuff that's about to come out in 2021, the Hamilton joint, that's what I worked on that. And sort of am still working on that. When is this dropping?
I want to say April, but we could push for May.
All right. So if May is good. Well, there's two things. There's a Marcus Garvey documentary I worked on.
Expound on that.
That's it. That's, oh my God. Look. No.
I can't expound too much on it.
You know that, yo.
It is a doc.
Mm-hmm. You like him.
Do you know which platform is going to be available on? Or can still, you cannot?
I still don't know none of that yet.
Okay. Now I want you to make your
own. Yeah, I still don't know that, but there's
you'll one be on the lookout for it, right?
Yeah, I'll definitely be on the lookout.
There's one of the works, and I worked on that.
Fire.
So I have some stuff to do on that. Like I did some little bit of editing on it.
So hearing a lot of your work history, you've worked on like diverse
everything.
Projects, because I wasn't here the first interview.
Yeah, so basically, that's basically been my whole thing. Even when I got in this industry in general, and when I was able to get the opportunity to do some editing on different projects, and I got to a point where I was able to choose what projects I wanted to get work on. It wasn't like I had to pick the first thing that came to me. So I've gotten to the point, and for a while I've been in that point. So I made it my business to work on a little bit of everything. So I worked on stand-up comedy. I've worked on Broadway shows. I've worked on TV series. I've worked on documentaries. I've worked on sports documentaries as well. So I have a wide range of different platforms. I've worked on streaming services, stuff only. I've worked on air.
So you're independent. I'm
a freelancer. Yeah. Okay. So I get called to work on jobs off of my name or word of mouth or different things.
Your previous work. Good work, goddammit.
But so even before the previous, even before the previous work, people like just either producers I worked with before, they'll let somebody else know, like, hey, this person's available. See if this person's available or something like that.
Oh, I got the perfect guy for this type shit, right?
Yeah, or it could be the resume, of course. Like, honestly, I was considering taking a job at this place, facility as a writer producer. Type job. So I went in there, and funny enough, I had taken my resume. This is like last week, and of course on there I have the Hamilton thing. The interview was about 40 minutes.
About
35 minutes was about the Hamilton. And then they were like, "Are you even interested in something like this? Because you know you're working on big things." I'm like, "I don't even know what the job is."
Yeah.
That's why I came here.
I'm like,
"Y'all supposed to inform me."
Then they're like, "Do you have any questions?" I'm like, "No, I really don't." Because
so they probably can't afford you.
Well, I would have just been doing something to do, like, and I would still do what I'm doing.
Oh, okay.
There's not enough money.
So you weren't going to sign a non-compete or nothing like that?
No, I was not going to do that.
At this current juncture where you are in your career, where do you see yourself, like, over the next couple of years in terms of, are you going to grow
this
production company?
Well, I do have a sort of a production company on the side with a partner, and which is Pacadena, my name, what it goes under. He handles a lot of that stuff, which we do a lot of stuff like Revolt, New Era stuff, and stuff like that, like branding stuff.
Okay.
So he's been ahead of that. He's been taking care of all that. Pacadena Murray is his name, by the way. But he's been taking care of a lot of that.
I know you have to work with them. I know.
Yeah, like a lot of the stuff, basically, he does a lot of stuff for them. Like right now, he's actually might be shooting some Revolt stuff.
So do you see yourself doing like major motion pictures?
Well, the goal is to start filming my own content and trying to shopping it to places and stuff like that. Basically creating content myself at this point. You know what I mean? It's cool working, and of course that's the bread and butter what I do, working on other people's stuff and stuff like that, but
you want
like working on my own stuff because I'm a creative, so I'm always thinking of different things, creating different things. I have to find time, which I was doing that, to do my own thing, basically, because I get so busy at times.
Yo, that's
like,
dope.
Oh, the other stuff, you asked other projects, the NFL Honors. I was just in Miami, I was producing on that.
Super Bowl.
But stuff like that is like, you know what I mean? I was working 18-hour days for a whole week. Mm. You see what I'm saying? So it doesn't give me, days like that don't give me time to do much of my own stuff, basically.
Damn, how you working like that week? When you told me?
Yeah, that's what I was telling you. I was out there. I wasn't partying out there, bro. I was basically working the whole time. Cutting shit. Looking for different stuff because, you know, there's a show. So, yeah, it was a whole bunch of graphic artists there. There were editors here. There were producers in one part.
And everybody was working around the clock.
Yeah, because I even did editing on that. I was not only producing. I ended up editing a few of the packages myself and stuff like that. So, yeah. So, it's working around the clock, basically. There was some people that didn't sleep at all. I at least got a few hours of sleep. People didn't sleep at all.
Like a power nap. Oh, back to it. Fuck.
Gotta get back to it.
Yeah. Nah, don't wrong. I will go to my nice room every night.
Don't get me wrong. You know?
Yeah, I had a, you know what I mean? But, you know, I still, I mean, I was right back at the facility like at 9, 8:30, 8:40 in the morning. And be there till 1 o'clock, 2 sometimes.
Out of all the different projects, you know how you said you did comedy, you know, did sports doc, regular doc. Which of the genres is the one that you kind of like to work on the most or enjoy?
I do enjoy documentaries because it's, you know, as you're working, it's storytelling, you feel me? And a lot of people don't know this. Usually documentaries are shot as interviews and that's it. And then with an idea, of course, the director has an idea of because of the question he's asking, but is either, there's two different types of things that happen. Either the editor himself builds the story of what he thinks will be an interesting story by going through the script and whatever the case may be. And sometimes you go off the script, obviously, as the editor, because sometimes what the director thinks he shot is not really there.
Yeah, okay.
Sometimes, you know what I'm saying? So we have to create things sometimes. Mm-hmm. So, off of what we have. So there's a lot of times that we sort of manufacture certain things to say what we wanted to say that's real. Mm-hmm. It's not like changing any part of the story. Mm-hmm. But sometimes it doesn't come out as clear as possible, so we'll make it as clear as possible by grabbing pieces of what you said to make what you were really trying to say sound better. Okay. Or taking out certain things of what the conversation is. Which is why sometimes, I don't know, I know pretty much a lot of times you don't see but you don't hear that many times. Nobody really talks like that. Everybody talks saying those things.
You want to clear dialogue.
Mm. So that's all in the editing process.
Editing process, all that stuff is cleaned up and stuff like that. It's only put there when it's needed, for the most part.
Like I'm trying to tell you, learn something new every day.
So yeah, so documentaries they're dope to work on, like I said, and plus you learn stuff as you're working also as well, because some things you might not know anything about. Yeah. And as you're working on it, you start learning and picking up information on people and stuff like that. You hear stories. Plus, you see a lot of stuff that people don't see either because you got footage for days. You're not hearing.
And some of us will never see certain things.
Yeah, like, for example, I worked on a Nicki Minaj documentary, like I told you, and I knew about Nicki and Meek before the public knew.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying? So I knew things about that type of stuff that happened before the public knew. I just couldn't say
anything. Oh, Nicki.
I knew that information.
Oh, we're off the topic, beloved. No.
Well, what's going on in Queens, man? I don't like going to Queens.
I barely go.
I was having this.
I was looking at places over there. Don't get me wrong.
Queens, I don't really stuff.
There's some nice places over there. You know what I'm saying?
I'll probably like go to where the Colombians be at.
Yeah. You going to the hookah spot?
That's what I'm talking about. Really, like, I don't know what you're talking about. Like over there, they definitely talk that weird Spanish. I'd be like, oh shit.
I don't get it.
Like, it's almost like that Asian stuff. You like?
Yeah.
Right?
I was like, whoa. I was like, what the fuck? Boy, you talking on that nasty Nicki shit on front? That's what I like.
You know, I'm not going to ask you to expound on that because, you know.
On what part? The
what's
Nicki
going one? On, man?
Well, you could ask.
Your brother catches a case for, I'm going to call it satanic behavior. Then, no, I'm concerned. I'm concerned. Now, your husband or fiance, I didn't know. Part of the reason why he was in jail.
You thought he killed somebody.
Was for this. No, because they say he's a goon.
Yeah, that's what you thought.
That's what they said. I don't know. They said he's a shooter. He performs. He's about that action. Then come to find out, I'm learning that he had to go to jail for the same satanic behavior. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, he's not registering. Like, what? I don't know. I'm not a like, what's going on?
Yeah, the thing is that I think they're probably living in L.A. right now.
No, they are.
So, yeah, that's the problem. He's living in a neighborhood that probably has kids. You know, and people are afraid. You know? So, rightfully, you know, because they find out through the internet that this man actually, you know, this man. And to be honest with you, I really don't know the extent. It could have been the case where he had sex with a 16-year-old, 17-year-old, and he was 18.
I don't know, but
there are people in high school that are like that, you know what I mean?
These are very negative tabloids.
But, it's not given the history of her brother,
yeah, it's
the first thought that comes to your head is,
like, what is going on?
You know. Bitch, you're supposed to know this word. You're supposed to be fucking around. Yeah,
like I said, I'm really surprised by that. I'm really surprised by that.
She's a pedophile supporter, that's what it is. That's what I believe. Yo, this, yeah, her brother, like, she's not holding her brother down.
Yo, Bunch, so what's next for you, man? So what's next for you, Bunch? Before SB getting his bag. Oh my god.
She just wasn't the same after that.
Shout out to my nigga Meek Mill. He got out of that situation. That's what it was. That's,
you know, sometimes
he's prosperous right now. He's doing very well.
Yeah, sometimes, you know, sometimes
he's not even on parole anymore.
Sometimes he's become the face of prison reform.
Yes.
And fitness. Yes.
You know? So, you know, sometimes breakups are a blessing in disguise, people, because
yeah, she's been out here tripping.
I don't know, man. This is not good.
Music all fucked up now, too. She ain't doing too good.
Oh, look, he's about to have a kid, too.
Yeah. Well, he's about to have a kid?
Yeah, he's about to have a kid.
Shorty that make that clothing brand. Damn, yeah. What is it? Milan? What is it? Milan? Yeah. Whatever.
Milano, whatever.
Milano.
You know, props to Meek, man.
You know.
Smart moves.
Yeah, but yeah. So, what's your dream project? Like, and when I say dream project, it doesn't, you don't have to have a, idea of the specifics, but like, who would you want on your team as a director? Maybe an actor, score.
As a director,
what would be your dream project? Like, listen.
Well, to be honest with you, I probably always been inspired. Originally, got inspired into even doing anything in film at an early age without really even realizing it. Mm-hmm. And to be honest with you, I have to give credit to, if anybody would have been the one that inspired me, was Hype Williams.
Mm.
Because for some reason, I don't know why. Now I know why, obviously, because it's what I do. Mm-hmm. I used to look up who shot the video.
You look at the credits.
I used to look at the credits, so I would see Hype Williams.
All the time.
So then I would look up for Hype Williams videos, and I would notice the details in the videos. Like, I would notice how he was the first one that started putting the letterboxes on videos.
Mm-hmm.
I have rap videos. He was the first one to use the white letterbox in rap videos, which was a Nas video. Mm. So, so he would do innovative stuff that people weren't really trying or doing, and it brought my attention to the point where I even knew people who were under him, like X, the director, who was
Little X,
was under intern under Hype Williams at the time, and then he branched off.
Didn't know that.
So if you actually look at some of those videos, you look behind Little X is in those videos and working also as an AD, assistant director.
Mm.
He became assistant director to Ty Brooms, and then he became his own director.
Mm. Oh, so subconsciously, you were on this path.
I was on this path without knowing. Yeah.
Without knowing.
And then, of course, somehow things happened in life where I didn't go to school for this.
Mm-hmm.
So I ended up working. I had a friend that worked. That had a basically like a messenger company only in the film industry. So he basically has his own little messenger company where he would basically...
So you had all the addresses?
No, so he basically would take all these, because it was really commercial world,
mm-hmm.
but it was still film.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, so he had a company with people who repped directors, editors, and they had a direct connection to agencies
mm-hmm.
because that's how they would get the jobs. Directors and editors would get the job. So a lot of the directors were rotating. You know, it was like a revolving door of editors, mm-hmm. directors that would come over there to talk to the reps and find out what's going on. So they will see us. Obviously, we're from New York.
Mm-hmm.
Or half these people were not from the city.
Mm-hmm.
They will see us because we were dressed the way we were dressed. We didn't have no uniform. We had mm-hmm. a company. Somebody that he had started with had left. And he was like, yo, you want to do this with me? I wasn't going to school out of high school. Right out of high school, I didn't get to go to school because, first of all, I fucked up in high school, not to get accepted in any school. And any private school I really couldn't afford at that time when I was younger. So he was like, yo, you want to work? You want to just become my partner in this? Because this other guy left. So I was like, fuck it, let's do it. So we ended up doing it just us two. So we used to deliver, before it was CDs or DVDs, it was these big ass fucking VHS tapes. It was like 8 quarter inch tapes that were like huge. Quarter inch tapes that were huge tapes, and they were reels of the director's stuff or editor stuff. So the way we used to make money at that time, this was before 9/11 and all that stuff. The way we used to make money, a lot of money was dropping off the reels. Actually, he worked with us a few times. Shit. You know what I mean? Like, we used to carry that shit. So he actually, you know, we would hire somebody at times because we were super busy at times. So basically, the way we'll do it is we'll be dressed the way we were, or dressed up, or but not with a uniform. And instead of going to the mailroom, we'll go straight upstairs to the receptionist and drop it off in the front. So our reels will get there first, which is why we had clients, because that's how we'll get away with it. So we made a little hustle where we basically would dress up regular. So even though they would try to send us to the mailroom, sometimes we'll be like, no, we're here to see somebody. And we'll just, before we got there, we'll take the name, one of the names that was on one of the packages, and we'll go to the front. So we'll leave in front of the receptionist, so the reels will get there, so they'll get, like everything in life, the first thing you see is the first thing that sticks in your mind.
Yeah.
So if you see the reels first, everything else you see and you like it off the back, everything else you see after that is whack to you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So if the reels are good enough, they'll see it first, and these people will get the jobs. Mm-hmm. It's kind of the clients we had. So the directors became cool with us because they would see us from New York dressed the way we were dressed, and they were like, yo, well, you guys were young, so they want to hang out with us and be around us. And that's how I started meeting a lot of directors, and I would just, every opportunity I got, I would PA, I would either do other stuff with the directors when I was called, but like, yo, I want to do something, let me talk to me, what's up? So I started PAing for a while as I was doing
production assistant.
Yeah, production assistant.
For the viewers.
As I was doing other stuff, as I was still doing my job, but on weekends, if they had a shoot, or if I could get somebody to work for me, I would go PA and do some stuff like that. And I just wanted to get my foot in the door, but I still wasn't there, so then 9/11 came, company crashed. I couldn't hold it down. Both of us couldn't afford paying ourselves with the clients we had, so I just let him keep the company. I ended up working for a post house, which is editing. Everything that's post-production is after the film is shot.
That's when you guys...
That's where post starts, which that's offline editing, that's color, that's online editing, and that's all that stuff that... Basically, ending the film, bringing the film to life, and doing all that stuff, that's post-production. Production is the actual just filming of it. Where the filming could last 2 months, post-production could last a year.
A year.
Sometimes. Depending on what you're working on.
Yeah.
So, basically, I was working for this post house, and while I was working there, I had friends that were rapping, and I told them before they were rapping, so I just started doing videos for them. As an opportunity, I was like, you know what? I'm already working in a post house. Let me just try this and try to do some videos. And we shot the videos, but we had nobody to edit the videos. So, like, who the fuck is that? And I was like, fuck it, I'll try it. So I would try it when I was in the post house working there, but I wasn't doing no editing. I started there as a messenger, and I was soon after that I became a supervisor of a machine room, which basically store everything and digitize shit. So I was using editing software, not to edit. I was using editing software to capture videos off of these tapes. That's what I was doing. So I was like, I have a fucking editing software. I'm using it for something that's not for editing. I was like, might as well learn how to use this shit.
Yeah.
Because I already knew how to do certain things in it because I had learned how to do the capturing and all that stuff. So if I could figure out the capturing, which is this shit is not made for and it's complicated to do that shit alone, I figured out the editing. So I was doing the editing. I started, so I was like, fuck it. I took from my friend's video that we shot and I was just editing the videos as good as possible as I could. So basically what I would do is I work my regular 9 to 6 or 7, and then from 7 till about midnight, 1 o'clock, I would stay there every night working on shit, making videos or trying other stuff. And as time went on, I got laid off literally after I asked to be promoted into like assistant editor or to be trained to edit on Avid, which is difficult as fuck if you don't know how to edit on that because editing is expensive to get. And literally a week after that, they laid me off.
Did they tell you why or?
They said they felt like I didn't want to be there. That was the only reason. That's what they said. Because I was staying there late editing videos, which is the edit house. So if you see I'm that dedicated, you know.
Yeah.
And but I'm telling you that themselves. I want you to train me and edit it as well.
Fair enough, the owner contacted me and asked me to send me my resume and this other and my work, so I thought they could hire me for as an editor now. I never said it, of course, but...
Really?
Yeah, I just ran into her in the streets and she was like, what are you doing now? She's like, are you doing some big stuff now? And I was like, yeah, I'm actually editing now. And she was like, wow. She was like, send me your stuff or something like, for me, because we need people to come in, you know, stuff like that. I was like, all right, no problem.
But Curvo.
How the world turns.
Yeah, yo, man. Yo, that is crazy. That's funny. But she come out of nowhere like, oh, man.
But
yeah,
I can't afford you right now.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, nah. Yeah, like, I'm good. Like, oh, that's nice, bitch, but you can't afford me right now, you know?
But yeah, so that's basically how, you know, when they laid me off, like I said, I didn't know what to do. I put in my, once I got laid off, that was the last time I said I worked for anybody. So I was like, I got to do something because I can't work for nobody, because I can't have my career, my job period on somebody else's hands. If I get laid off that fast, that means that I have no control of my life. Yeah. That's how I felt. So I was like, you know what? I took a year, literally a whole year of me on YouTube, every tutorial I could find, how to edit. I treated YouTube like it was a job. I would wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning, go to bed at 3 o'clock in the morning on YouTube all day. Tutorials, actually cutting stuff, editing stuff, but also doing tutorials at the same time. He remembers.
Unfortunately, yes.
You know what I mean? Like, I would be up late at night just teaching myself how to do shit and learning theories of editing, reasons for doing cuts and stuff like that. I would read up on all that shit. And literally a year after I got laid off, I booked my first job. That same week that I got laid off, a year passed. That same week I booked my first job, which was a campaign for Glamour Magazine, an online campaign.
Oh, shit.
I did that. And then I did a Pantene Pro-V commercial spot. I did like a 15, a 30, like a 60-second stuff for them, where it was for the web. Also, I did that for them. But the Glamour Magazine was the first job that I got a check for. That I was like, okay, I could do something with this now. Mm-hmm. Like, I could make a career out of this. And that was, funny enough, I remember that stuff because I didn't get paid while I was doing all the work. So I was doing the work in hopes that they would like everything I was doing and that I would actually get paid. Right. Because I didn't know how it worked back then, obviously. Which is, if you don't like my work at the end of the day, if you don't like somebody's work at the end of the day, if you hire them, you still got to pay them.
You still got to pay them, right.
You know what I'm saying? So fortunately, that's never happened to me, but I didn't like my work, but...
Nah, my man got good work.
That's the way it goes, but I was just like, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing, honestly, because that I basically took a job where I had to do everything, graphics, I had to do everything, cut out, masking, or rotoscoping, all types of stuff I had to do, which is all in terms of editing, but
yeah.
It got to that point where I had to just learn. So as I was working on it, I turned, and I had a three-month job. That's how much work it was. So for 3 months, I wasn't getting paid. I was just working on this every single day and trying to make it in and sending it to clients and all that stuff. So finally, one day, everything got approved at the deadline when I sent it off. I had to wait another 2 weeks to get my check. Now, at this point, this is my first job, so I didn't really know what to negotiate, and I actually didn't really negotiate before I even took the job. Because I was like, yo, this is the first job. I just got to get a check. My unemployment was about to be done after the year, you feel me? Because I was basically just going for unemployment. I was like, fuck it, let me just see, do it. First check came, 10 grand. I was like, all right, I could definitely do this for a living. And of course, for me at this point, during this me starting, and I was like, all right, if I get enough jobs like this constantly, I could do it.
You could do well.
I could do very well. Funny enough, that was the first job I did, besides the commercial stuff. That was the first thing that I did on my own. The next job I did was a Nicki Minaj, the Ed Sheeran documentary. So I went from that, a web thing, to the TV, TV documentary. That's the second job. And I did the Nicki Minaj joint. I have done that, but I had done a few other stuff. I've done stuff for CNN and stuff like that. But yeah, that's how I ended up getting started into this.
One thing after another.
Yeah. Seems like you got hot too. You got hot. You got fat. You got hot. Like, it just went.
But don't get me wrong. I did.
He's heating up.
No, I ain't gonna lie though. I did do stuff in between to make that jump. For example, like, I had somebody that I worked with in the other company before I was even editing. He knew I was editing on the side, so he always knew I was an editor, and he would give me stuff to do. When he found out I got laid off, he had left the company too, to do his own thing. So every time the Pantene commercial was through him, he needed help. He had a client. He was like, yo, I know you could do this. You want to help me out? So he looked out. So, of course, it wasn't just all me. I had opportunities like that where I built up the confidence to be able to do the stuff on my own. Because since he believed that I could do it on a client job,
yeah,
I was like, yeah, if I can knock this out, which it was easy for me to do, obviously, because I knew what I was doing. But I just didn't have the confidence to be like, you know what, I could do this on my own.
Yeah.
Up until then, when he was like, yo, you're an editor, dude, like, just do this. And I was like, yeah. So I was like, all right, fuck it. Yeah, so he gave me this stuff, and I was like, all right, so I did all the graphics, all the stuff that I had to do. And also, I would also tell him, like, because he was really good with graphics, so there was times that I never liked just somebody doing something for me. I like to learn how to do it most of the times. So I would literally tell him, yo, I need you to do something for me, but could you record yourself doing it? So you only have to do one, and I'll do the rest. And I don't know how to do it. So I would have him do that. He would do the first one, and after that, I'll do everything else after that. Even if it was something totally different from that, what I needed to know was how to get around the program and learn what each key was. So me watching him do it, because I'm very visual, so me watching you do something right here, I could literally pick it up without you even saying a word to me.
Just because you're just looking right.
Just looking at what you did.
Just think
it's
the LeBron of film.
You know what I'm saying? So,
the LeBron of film, I like that.
But when I went for that first job, the Ed Sheeran documentary, I went to an interview to be put on the editor's list. It wasn't for that doc. I went to an interview just as a freelancer, because I was freelancing already. So I needed to get my name out there. So when you get your name out there is you go for an interview and be like, all right, we want to hire you as a freelancer eventually when something comes up. So I just went for an interview to put my stuff in there and give the work. As I'm talking, I knew I was still pretty, you know, green around this industry, and I didn't have enough work to show. As we're talking in the interview, she tells me that they're giving a class only for the staff. I let that rock. I held it in my head, obviously. I was waiting for the interview to be over. I was like, all right, no problem. So she goes, I'm like, by the way, you just tell me that you have a class for the staff. Could anybody from the outside get in the class? Now, the class we were teaching, I already knew how to use the software. I act like I didn't know how to use software because I knew how to teach the class. So I was like, oh, you want to take the class? I'm like, yeah. She was like, you know how to use it? I'm like, I know how to use it, get around it, but I wouldn't mind taking the class. Because it was a facility that only the...
Humility.
Yeah, so she was like, I don't know. I'll see if I can get you in. So I was like, all right. At first, I was like, I thought she was going to let me know. I went home. A week passed. After like a week, I'm home. I'm still ain't got no gig, no job, nothing like that. I'm like, I'm checking my emails. I see, hey, it's me, whatever. I remember you asked if you wanted to come to class. I found a spot. You come in. It's on the weekend. So I was like, all right, say no more. So I go into the class. As there's a person teaching the class, I thought he was an instructor because he knew more than the person that was actually the instructor, to be honest with you. He happened to have worked for the company also. But he was in the class just helping the instructor. I don't know why. Like I said, this is a guy from Apple. This is Final Cut, by the way. Final Cut Pro X. This is when it first came out. So this is a guy from Apple teaching the class, and the guy that's in the class was standing there, like, leading the class for the company. He knew more than him about this shit. So I thought he was actually a teacher. So we there, and he goes, hey, you know how to use this program, because I'm, like, doing stuff that they're doing, but I'm already doing it ahead of time, because they're giving us stuff to do, so I will do it and finish it off, because I thought they were going to show other stuff that I didn't know, but I honestly knew a lot.
Right.
Without really knowing, because like I said, I didn't have nobody to gauge myself with.
Yeah.
She was like, oh, you do actually know how to use this a lot. And goes, all right. So I'm like, yeah. So they gave a certificate that's saying that you're certified to use this program as an editor, because nobody knew how to use it that well at first. So I got the certificate the following, that was on a Saturday. That Wednesday, I got an email from them saying, hey, want to hire you for a documentary. Are you available? I was like, sure, I didn't know what the fuck I had to do. I didn't know what I was going to do. I didn't know what to spell. I was like, yeah, I'm available. Fuck it. I go in, be working on this software, whatever, we're working fine. I meet a few people in there that I'm working with, like editors and other stuff that I'm working with, producers and stuff like that. And at that point, I was only working as an assistant editor.
Okay.
I had to get my foot in the door, so yeah. I was just assisting, but I was also editing stuff as an assistant editor because the editors knew that
you could handle it.
Well, they were asking me, they were like, do you cut also? And I was telling them, like, yeah. Because I really, as an assistant, you're more technical than anything. But you still do some editing here and there, but it's mainly you get lost in the technical part of it. So I was like, yeah, I know how to cut. I basically am more of an editor than an assistant editor, honestly. I'm just faking this just to get my foot in the door, honestly. So I would tell the editors like that. I'm like, all right. So they would give me stuff to cut. But on that first week that I started that job, the software we're working on couldn't handle the project. It was so big. It would take like an hour for us to open up the software because it was loading every day. So we had to make a complete overhaul of the whole project from that software to another software. And it had to be seamless where the editors would come back the next day.
And it should just flow.
It was just like they were working in that flow the whole time. I didn't know what the fuck I was doing. This happened on a Friday. They were like, yo, we got to change this. They didn't know what the fuck they were going to do. They didn't even know how they were going to do it because it's two different languages. You've seen what Final Cut Pro looks. And you see what everything else looks like.
Yes, I know.
So it's two different
I'm learning. I'm definitely learning.
They don't even match at all. So, funny enough, I stood there the whole weekend working on the shit, transferring the stuff over. They came back Monday. It's like they never, it's like they were always working on Premiere because of the way I did it and everything. So I was able to move the whole project over to the whole thing. So off of that, that's when I started getting, we worked on that for like a few months. Right away before I was even done, they were like, yeah, you want to work on something else? Started working on something else. And then, like, I was working in that company as a freelancer for, like, 4 years. I probably was basically staff there, but I was freelancing.
Mm.
And I was working there for, like, 4 years, just working on different shit. And I got to the point where they were asking me, hey, what do you want to work on? Which usually they don't ask nobody, what do you want to work on? They just try to hire you for something. They were like, listen, there's these four jobs coming up. What do you want to work on? Any of the stuff you're interested in? And they were asking me what I was interested in. So that's why I ended up getting my foot.
Shit, I'm trying to get to that point. Nigga, what you want to do? I'm trying to get to that point.
Choice.
Facts.
But all that, funny enough, all that happened because I got laid off. And I said I never want to work for somebody ever again.
Yeah, I remember you had said that, never again. And then look at now. Beloved, you got anything to say before we wrap up, man?
I mean, hearing your story, I mean, I don't know what Kevin shared with you. You know, this was like one of my first friends that I met when I came to New York. And he was like, yo, yeah, you from Boston, but we vibe, I got you. So even in the essence of Kev starting this project and having me join him, we always talk about what we want to do post-education.
Yeah.
And we've heard a lot of stories like yours when people come on the platform, and hearing similar stories like yours, it made me work up enough nerve, and I left the DOE over the summer. So I'm in my first year trying to figure out what this like independent entrepreneurial life looks like.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what advice do you have for our viewers, or even for me, on how to stay the course and survive like this first year, not working under someone?
I would say find something you don't mind doing every day,
mm-hmm.
right? And stay on the course of that. Focus on that. Like, try to be as great as you can on that one thing. And then after that, obviously, then you could probably branch off and do other stuff, obviously, but find that one thing you want to do and just make that your main focus for the whole year.
Yeah.
People say 10,000 hours. Yeah, that's cool. But doing a whole year of every single day doing the same thing and learning different things within the same stuff that you want to do, trust me, it'll work itself out on its own.
Okay.
You won't have to do much. You'll get repaid for all the work you're putting in. Like, don't ever feel like you're not going to be repaid for all the work you're going to put in for that whole year. You might not see any rewards. You might not see any money at all through it. It's going to be hard.
But it's definitely going to help you out.
Stay focused. But like I said, the universe will pay you. And I don't mean to sound like that, but mm-hmm. it's the truth.
No.
Like I said, literally a year after I got laid off and me doing what I was doing, like treating my layoff like a real job, a year later, I booked my first job. And it was just me not putting out any resume out there. It was just literally me just working hard. And somehow I ended up coming across that first job. And that's how it ended up happening. So,
okay.
And I have to admit, there was many times that I was like, maybe I should quit. Maybe I should try to look for a job.
I did the right thing.
You know what I'm saying? Like, there's always going to be some self-doubt. And you're going to have those moments. But go get past it. And trust me.
Okay.
Because sometimes I always tell people, you might be just a day away from your biggest opportunity and you gave up just the day before. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, If you just would have waited one more day, you would have. Yeah. You know what I mean? You would have had the biggest opportunity of your life.
Stay the course.
Well, I'm working on now, though. When you say it's coming out?
Like May, yeah.
Well, I'm working on a Bon Jovi video.
Really?
Bon Jovi, the rock star?
Yeah, right now at home. That's what I'm talking to right now. That's what the phone call I was on right now.
Oh yeah,
Bon Jovi and actually the formerly known as Prince Harry's in the video too.
Really?
Yeah.
The Prince from England? Yeah. This Diana
song? Yeah. It was a song for his charity and stuff like that.
Oh. Mm.
So it's like on some We Are the World Part 2 type shit.
Sort of. That's what I don't know if you heard me over here saying that. I was saying it's really slow. It's because I was saying the song is really slow.
It's
a ballad.
This is a project that he didn't want to talk about.
No, it comes out in May. It comes out in March. March 14th.
Oh, so you good. So you good.
That's why I had to get on the call because I'm having issues. Right now, I have...
That Bon Jovi, that would be... That's
fine. Shot in 6K, so that shit... It's fucking, I had to bring it down all the way down because ain't nothing playing 6K right now. So my computer can't handle that shit. And the drive they gave me, it's not even my computer, the drive they gave me, you recording right now?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's fine. The drive they gave me is not that good, so I'm just transferring stuff right now so I can 2K to bring it back up later. But the purpose of it,
for that.
But yeah, the video should be coming out March 14th. So.
Oh, that's soon.
Yeah, like in 2 weeks.
That's what it's like 2 weeks, bro. Yeah.
Fire. So,
come back around that same time, man.
Just kidding, bro. Yo, man, on this note, man, on SB's EBT card.
You ain't know.
It's the Hey Now podcast.
Oh, it's coming out in May.
Yeah.
By that time, I think, yeah. Look out for The Last Dance.
We can talk about it?
Not too much details. Okay. Yeah. Right. Because I don't know how long, but yeah, The Last Dance. Okay.
Yeah, y'all know what The Last Dance is. If y'all don't, tune in. It should be out.
Documentary.
June. That's what is out. That's what they're projecting. That's what ESPN is projecting.
So June.
That's what ESPN said. That's what ESPN said.
Exactly.
Man. So Buns, man. Thank you, man. It's a pleasure. As I was saying, I'm gonna keep bothering you with the edits, man. I thank you for all your help, man, on the downtime, man.
Thank you for having me, man. I really appreciate it, man.
The recap, you know, we had Buns early, you know, led the way, you know, and to have him come back and let us know, you know, a little bit about the projects, you know, that he's been working on, you know.
Yeah.
It's really dope and inspiring. So,
next time I'm here, it'll probably be my own project that I'll be
doing. Ooh, it is fire. It's fire. You know, it's crazy when he was talking about that. When he was saying that he was going to start, like, creating contact, all his other stuff, and ship his stuff, I was about to tell him, yo, put me, I'm trying to get.
I'll try to be, like, extra.
You know, something, like, man. Like, you need to get on Hollywood or something.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Or something, man. Fame NYC, Hey Now Podcast, SB.
Yo,
no.
On the camera. And we out. That's it.